Welcome to Southpaws, episode 464, Gray Muzzle Bingo. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
I'm Shiva.
And we all qualify at this point.
Yeah.
That's great. I always thought gray muzzles were like 50s and 60s, not...
Well, I mean, back in the day, it was older than 30. So, I mean, it's been creeping up.
According to...
I thought it'd been creeping down.
According to the MFF con book a few years ago, the gray muzzle meet and greet was for first 30 and over.
That's like, wait a minute.
That's like a lot of people. I mean, the average age of people in the fandom has been decreasing. There's a lot of kiddos out there. But, like, it's never been really, like, agreed upon. And some people a few years ago actually suggested that maybe it should be considered how long you've been in the fandom, or, as opposed to how old you actually are.
I mean, that's a valid metric, because in my case, that'd been 23 years or so. So, Yeah, I would probably qualify by that metric.
Yeah, and I'm at, like, 21, 22 years, give or take, so...
Back in the day of the Orlando Furry Archive and Miaveer's Story Archive.
I joined somewhere around 1996.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're about that same furry age there, Shiva.
So, Shiva...
Yeah, but I wasn't a minor.
Yeah, I was totally a minor looking at things I shouldn't have been looking at online. But guess what? Gay unicorns.
You're wide-eyed young fennec. Like, gee, willikers! It goes in the butt.
Wow, those unicorns are really pretty. That's hot. Oh, they're both boys. That's hot.
Let me ask a question. Shiva, have you seen the gray muzzle bingo image that we're referencing?
Yep.
Okay, cool. So you're
I hit most of those squares. Not all of them, most of them. Like, I never had a pounced, but I've also been in a relationship most of that time.
Yeah, so Saverin suggested, like, we go through them, which I think could be fun. I gotta find my... Oh, wait, that's right. I saved mine to my phone. That's actually the easier way to do it.
Yeah, so this was...
Should we share the image?
Yeah, we'll share the image in a tweet. Like, Fuzz tweeted about it from the podcast Twitter account. Just the blank version. The not marked up version.
There. So I just sent the blank version to our Telegram chat. So that we can go through it.
Yeah, and mine is in the topic chat. So this was an image titled Gray Muzzle Bingo that was posted around, and I filled it out. So we're just going to go square by square, and I think some of this is like, were you aware of this, or did this apply to you type thing? So obviously, the top left square is Badger, 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 Mushroom, Mushroom. The badger mushroom flash animation. We all remember that, right, Fuzz and Shiva?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I mean,
badger, 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 mushroom, mushroom. Oh, it's a snake. Yeah, it was one of those early flashes that still was like the mid-2000s, honestly. But
from
still,
like Newgrounds or something like that.
Yeah, like early Newgrounds. So that one's a pretty easy one. That's pretty free. The next one is, has attended a permanently discontinued convention.
Oklacon.
Yeah, sadly, Oklacon.
So, I'm up to 4, I think. It might be more.
Does DuckCon count? It had a heavy furry track, and it became Midwest, kind of.
Well, also,
I don't think it's disconnected, but it's no longer a track that's part of it.
I'd say that's more of an evolution, I guess.
Plus, you and I, we attended Rocky Mountain Fur Con, Fuzz.
I was going to say, so my 4 that I can think of now, and I'll probably add to this, are Rocky Mountain Fur Con, Rocket City Fur Meet, which we also both attended, Rainforest, Oklacon.
So I'm at 3 and you're at 4, Fuzz.
Yeah.
Then APAs.
So someone asked me what these were on Twitter, and I explained APA... short for Amateur Press Association. The more colloquial term for these is zines. So like Gallery, Huzzah, things like that. 10%, I think, was one.
Tales from the Taipan Universe.
Yeah, that might be one also. And basically, so a lot of these were printed out on 8.5 by 11 paper, black and white, and frequently bound by three big staples and some black painter's tape on one end to make the binder. And the way the early ones would work was that each individual artist would draw their pieces and then make a number of copies for however many people were in the association. Like, so initially the idea was that they were not sold to the general public. So if you had 50 people in the association, you might make like 55 copies just so you'd have a couple to give around.
Yeah.
And later on they made more. So the artist would make like 50 copies, or a writer would print out their story and make like 50 copies. Then each individual person would mail their copies to the editor, who would then put it together by hand. So he'd collate everybody's stuff in order, get the binding done, and then mail the finished copy of the zine out to each contributor. And what is interesting to me is that there was always like a comment section, like the last however many pages were like a comment section where like people could reply to your piece. So like if an artist drew like a really political piece or a hot take or something like that, or the editor wrote something about, I know they had a couple of them had articles about burned furs and stuff like that, people could reply to it. And they would put those replies in the zine. And people apparently had like arguments that spanned over years through the back pages of these zines, because they would come out like quarterly or once or twice a year or something like that, which is kind of neat. It's interesting. It's like going back and forth on a magazine opinion column. So I've got a handful of copies. These were like a really big deal for early furries, pre and early internet. But that, I think Summercat has quite a few because he's building the furry library of all these 20th century publications. They're not really a thing now. I mean, now instead of this, we have print-on-demand publishing, and it's a lot easier to do like a short magazine or something, or you do it electronically and throw it up on like a responsive website or something. So that's basically what an APA is.
Yep, I've got
a few.
I have
not done that.
I mean, I took it as I have some, and like I never participated in them, but I mean, APAs have been a thing since, like, well, Trek/Fic became a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The ones I have are a bit fancier in that they're spiral bound, but that's about it. They're still
like
black and white.
Like Taipan was spiral bound.
Yeah. The next one's printed MapQuest directions to a con/Fermi.
Yep.
The Baw Bunny. Are you aware of the Baw Bunny? The upper right?
I am.
Looks familiar, but I don't remember the context.
The contents was a furry comic around the same time as Associated Student Bodies, except it was written by Michael McAdams and illustrated by Marcy McAdams, titled Incontinent Student Bodies. It was a diaper fur comic. That is the Baw Bunny, and that was in the original thing came up in the early 2000s, mm-hmm. before 2006, but doesn't have an exact date listed.
And a lot of times, a few years ago, whenever somebody would make fun of a baby fur, they would just post that image, you know, and that would like be the shut down the conversation kind of thing. You don't really see it much these days.
Yeah. And again, this is something from the mid 2000s, and it's like some of this stuff on here is referencing stuff from the early 90s. Like your own Wiki Fur article, I mean, that's been around since the early 2000s. I had one, I had it blanked because, I mean, updating it would be a lot of work, so why bother?
Right.
So don't have that one. And then the other, do you have, like, I'm pretty sure we all kind of don't have one.
I have one.
Oh, okay.
I don't know when it was last updated, but I looked in just now and it's still there.
Yeah. Mine had not been updated since like 2010 or whatever. So I was just like, just blank this. Alt Fan Furry.
I do have one. I did not create it. I did add detail to it at some point, but
Then, of course, there's Alt Fan Furry and Alt Lifestyle Furry user, which I that was actually before my time online.
Oh, okay.
I was part of it.
I was also. I posted to Alt Fan Furry.
Browsed VCL, which
yes.
Browsed it had a archive.
Yeah, like
actually, yeah, I do too. Now that I think about it, I think I still have the login for it.
Yeah, I mean that was what we had back in the day. It was just here is the list of people, like, and it can be sorted by date or by alphabetical.
Oh, and God, the uploader. Remember that where you could kind of browse, you know, the new submission?
And there was no tagging. There was no sorting. It was just, this is a gallery. This is what you get. So you would find, like, the piece of corn amongst all the shit sometimes.
Oh, wow, what a way to put that. You could bookmark, you know, people would bookmark their favorite artists and then go back and check them and see if person had uploaded any new material or things like that.
Yeah. So this next one is actually kind of important to me because it was how I met Panther. It's the Internet Furry Proximity Locator, IFPL. It was an early, like, if you're a furry, let people know that you live in an area and provide, like, your IRC or your ICQ so that people could contact you.
Yep, yeah. I used it.
And I think you put your zip code in so that people would know the general.
Yeah, this was prior to 2004. Like, this was fairly early.
I remember this around, like, 2000, I think.
Yeah, and that was, incidentally, how Panther first messaged me, was he found my contact info on there. And, well, here we are today.
I don't think I really met or talked to people there, but I did browse it to see if there was anyone local to me, and I put my location back when I lived in Florida a long, long time ago.
The
next one has literal gray hair.
So I know.
I marked this yes.
I found like one gray hair once, but we pulled it out and we haven't found another yet. So yeah.
Yeah. Thankfully, so, I haven't gotten any, but I'm still losing hair. So there's that.
My God, man, y'all don't have gray hair? I feel really old now. So,
well, if you look at my dad, he's got, like, colorless hair, not really. We just kind of fade.
So what's funny is a couple weeks ago, Guardian apparently started scanning in photos from an analog camera from Method, like, 2001, and he sent Tieran and me a couple of them, and, like, this was the con that Tieran and I met at, and so I'm looking at a photo of Tieran and I, which is literally 20 years old, and
wow.
What really struck me about it was how dark my hair and beard were, and I did not realize. Like, I knew I was going gray, and I knew I had it kind of streaked throughout my hair. But seeing that picture, I was like, oh my God, I've gone really gray. Like, my hair was such a dark brown that it was almost black. And my beard, similarly, very dark. And you look at me today, and it's like, that is not the case.
Well, it has been 20 years.
That really put in the sharp relief for me, like, wow, I've gone a lot grayer than I thought. Because it happens gradually. You look at yourself in the mirror every day, and you kind of don't really think about it. And then someone shows you an old photo that you've never seen before, and you're like, oh, that was a really long time ago.
Next up is the Furry Code.
Yep.
So the Furry Code was it was a website that I think it's still around, actually, where in, like,
your
things
stats.
You're into, and it would spit out this code.
Yeah.
And you could put that in, oh shit, the Furry Code Decoder is still around.
Decoder. So you'd put it in your email signature or your signature when you post it to news groups. So it would basically tell people what you're into. And if someone wanted to get to know you better, they could copy and paste your furry code into the decoder and it would tell you. And there was apparently a few people that got their furry codes tattooed on themselves, which is a dumb idea for multiple reasons. One is the couple I saw had it tattooed on their inner forearm where, like, concentration camp victims had their numbers tattooed, which is just in really bad taste. The other really dumb thing about doing that is that it includes your age in plain text. So, in reality, you would have to update your furry code every birthday. So I guess there's probably some 50-year-old fur out there who has a code with, like, 23 in it, because that was how old they were at the time.
So the Code of the Furries version 1.3 was written by Ross Smith in February 1998. And there is a decoder. There is no simple way to just, like, generate a code. You had to, like, look at the list and type it in yourself. Then there was a website that was made in 2006 to decode this, which is still up.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. So the furry code was basically your Wix, kind of like a Wix on tapestries or your mm-hmm. F-list, perhaps, indicating what you're into, but also had more information like, you know, oh, do I have kids? Do I have families? What am I into? Do I like anime? Like, one of the categories is anime. And it, in parentheses, it says Japanese animation. So at least it didn't call it Japanime.
Oh, I've always
hated that
Japanimation
term.
Yo, I remember Japanimation Station being a thing on AOL, but that was also on AOL in 1996. So the next one's kind of a freebie because some of these still exist. Attended a con with a physical bulletin board wall. Like, Fiesta has those still.
Yeah, I was going to say, I helped set one up.
MFF, Anthrocon 04, or MFM, I meant, they all had them back in the day, but still some of them exist, so that's kind of a freebie. Now, the next one is the Crystal, you know, the free space, whatever. But Crystal can't enjoy her sandwich. That one, like, happened a while ago. Crystal can't enjoy her sandwich was added 10 years ago. Oh, no.
I thought it was older than that, actually.
Yeah.
Wow, I was going to say, like, 04, but 07, so shit, so 13 years ago. This was a meme on Fur Affinity, and I think it was... So what wasn't it something like somebody drew the... like, posted a... an image or something, and they were like, oh, it's not furry. So they reposted it with this little picture of Crystal eating a sandwich in the lower right.
Yeah.
So then people took it and posted all sorts of other shit behind her, like the fucking mushroom cloud and shit like that.
Oh, yeah. So the original version was in 2007. FA user CB posted an image of Crystal with Star Fox eating a sandwich, and on July 22nd, posted a landscape with the illustration with the same image of Crystal edited into the corner. So, to get around the, you know, must contain furry, so it's Crystal can't enjoy her sandwich while in, like, a desolate brown landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And there
so she's
go.
In a Fallout game.
Yeah. That's why she can't enjoy her sandwich, because she's a naked blue fox in a Fallout game, so she stands out quite a bit.
So let me throw another thing in here about this, because I don't know if you're aware of this. So there was a band out of Alabama that played at Rocket City Furby a few times. They're called Critical Fail. And they're actually pretty good. What's funny is Wolf from Sublevel 3 actually sang with them during their live show at Rocket City one year. Anyway, one of the songs they wrote was Crystal Can't Enjoy Her Sandwich. They actually wrote a whole, like, 2.5 minute long song.
Nice.
About this meme. It was pretty good.
Attended a con/meetup without a mobile device. I mean, yeah, some of us, we've been attending meets long enough that we didn't have cell phones necessarily. Like, I attended various fur meets without a phone. I attended my first ACON without a phone.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. I couldn't clearly... I didn't select this one for myself because I couldn't clearly remember, because I remember very early on I made some friends and, like, I was like, I'm thinking of getting a cell phone because they were just kind of getting affordable for everyday people at that time. And my friends convinced me to make this horrible decision and convinced me to get Next cell phones because, oh, they have the cool walkie-talkie feature. You know, and I found out later, I was like, they're really designed for businesses, for, like, construction workers and shit like that, that might actually be using that feature. But those were furries that convinced me to do that. And that was in, like, 98, 99. So I don't think I ever attended a con where I did not have a cell phone, either a Nextel or one of the little Nokia candy bar ones.
I mean, my earliest phone was, like, it was a Nokia one, but it was kind of silver dildo-y looking. Like, it was a fat phone because it still had the big-ass battery.
Right, yeah. But
it was one of the earliest ones that had any form of mobile internet. You could look at email very, very, very slowly and type on AIM very, very, very slowly because it had 9-key typing only.
Yeah. But I got so good at texting on the 9-key touchpad.
Oh, yeah, same like here.
Just thumb going insane. I'm actually much slower on an iPhone than I was back in the day. Of course, I can't really hold my iPhone and text with one hand anymore. So next one down is Second Life.
Yeah, I remember playing Second Life. Remember the old Furnation Sims and all that? What was that? The Rainbow, what?
Tiger.
Rainbow Tiger Club.
Spike did that.
Yeah.
Yep. So I was on there. I've seen some screen caps of Second Life more recently, and fuck me, they look like they've really upped their game a lot. Like,
I've nosed around there. Didn't spend any quality time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got bored with it pretty quickly. Maybe, like, for, like, 6 months or so, I was like, oh, let me customize my character. Let me build a building and fiddle about. But, like, once I'd set up the basics, I was just kind of like, eh, okay. You know, it's really just a glorified chat room at that point. But the screen caps I've seen more recently, like, the graphics are actually kind of impressive. Like, they looked almost video game quality, so yeah. Maybe the furries there look a lot better than they used to.
I mean, considering that this has literally been around nearly 20 years, it's impressive. It's still around, but also it's cool that people have progressed. Because, yeah, like, I've seen some people that have been doing, like, introductory tours where they get their fursona thing and just take people around to, like, show various sims. And that's cool.
Oh, I haven't seen those. That might be worth checking out, like, the furry one. Yeah.
So the next one is kind of goofy. Sean Keller's furryfans.com.
Yep. I remember it.
That was just an early furry hate site.
Yeah, I remember it. It's a pity because the guy seemed to actually be a really talented artist and animator. And he had been in the fandom. I guess someone had pissed him off or something. And he just wasted all this talent on, I'm going to just hate on furries now. So kind of sad.
Sucks for him, but like he left.
That's what I mean. He's sad. It's like wow, dude.
So
yeah,
fuck him. But I'm like, I remember that. Then of course the next one is the big one. CSI. This is what season 4, episode 3.
Still looms over us to this day.
Not as much.
Not as much. But back in the early days of Fiesta, it sure did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it would have only been. After. It would have only been a 5-year gap. I forget how long Fiesta's been running sometimes.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm happy to say I think that in general, our press in recent years has been a lot more positive. And like, at least for the last year or two, a lot of it is focused on, hey, furries are really good at kicking Nazis and alt-right people out of their community. I wonder what they're doing. And having that investigated, and I'm much happier our fandom is known for having zero tolerance for hate groups, as opposed to, oh, look at these freaks that want a fucking fursuit. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with doing that, but that's not all we are, you know? And also, just the weird shit that they brought up with the suit lined with again? It was like a vinyl lining that any actual fursuiter would basically boil to death if they wore.
And there was like civet oil or something. It's also
it's supposed to be an aphrodisiac. And it's like
fur pile. God. Then again, like most recently there was, I say recently because it was the most recent thing I can think of. Like there was an episode of Lucifer which had like Lucifer tracking down a killer at a furry con, and it was like sort of a C plot on the episode. It happened right at the beginning and then didn't ever come up again, but they actually did talk to furries and had some furries with actual fursuits show up, and
they actually look halfway decent.
They were real fursuits. They weren't just made by the prop department. It was actually local people in probably L.A., I guess, wherever they filmed it.
Yeah. The next one, registered for a convention by mail. Remember when we had to mail things out?
I don't. I didn't select this one, and I'm not sure I've ever done this. You know, I probably should have selected it. I probably have. I remember receiving, like, letters from Anthrocon in the mail with my registration confirmation, but I can't remember if I, like, filled out a form and mailed it.
Maybe as a dealer?
No.
I know for a fact.
I mean, the only time I fill out a paper and pen form for a dealership is Method, and that's because that's the only con left that I go to where they allow people that are in the room that year to go ahead and get their tables for the following year. So I fill out the paper at the con and then hand it to the dealer lead with the payment. Yeah, I can only ever remember doing it online. So, I didn't want to cheat or anything, so I didn't select it because I could not remember specifically mailing forms.
I distinctly remember mailing off an MFM registration form that I printed out from my printer, and then I got a paper back, and then I had to take that paper with me to get my badge. So that, I mean, but also I remember using, like, a green monitor at Anthrocon 04, I think, to register there. So it's not like it was that much higher tech. But yeah, I used to have to physically mail objects to register for conventions.
Yep.
Had a Pounce.org profile.
Not it.
I did briefly, but not for very long. I mean, Pounce.org was an early furry dating website that existed for quite a long time until Fosta Sesta came in and, like, nuked that from orbit, so...
Oh, I didn't realize. Yeah, that's right. It isn't around anymore. Yeah. Well, I had one. I don't think anything ever really came of it.
Yeah, same here, but it wasn't...
Yeah, I wasn't really active on it, you know?
I mean, the thing is, the furry fandom used to be much, much smaller, and so, like, a dating site for furries was great, but the closest furry might be, you know, 50 miles away. You never know. Nowadays, obviously, there's furries damn everywhere, and it's, like, vaguely mainstreamish. Mm-hmm. Or people are like, oh, you've got a fursona? Yeah, sure. But they're not in the fandom. Furry Muck?
Yeah.
No.
I played on it briefly, and then I played on Tapestries briefly, but I was not really a Muck person, but I did have an account. I was a Mud person. So I
played for several years.
I thought those two were kind of interchangeable. Is there an actual difference between them?
Muck was basically a chat room with an environment that's interactable, whereas a Mud was a game. So, like, you fought monsters and shit by typing at them.
Oh, wow, okay.
That's where Rafa first came into being. She was my character there, and I played that game for, like, 5 or 6 years. I used, like, dial-up and learned to type really, really fast to, you know, be a wizard in a text game and read very, very fast.
So that wasn't Furry Muck then. What was that?
No, was that
Tapped?
No, the game was called Realms of Despair, the title of last week's episode.
Okay.
And they were sufficiently old that at the time they had the website game.org.
Holy shit.
Now, they don't have that URL anymore, but Realms of Despair is still around.
I hope they sold that for a fucking fortune.
I hope so, too. But yeah, Mucks and Muds, those were my jams.
Moos,
yeah.
I played on a lot of Moos, some Mushes, and then found Furry Muck and Taps off there. Plus, there was, like, SPR. There's a whole bunch.
Yeah, the fun thing about Tapestries is that I had to figure out a way to get a login, because at the time, I had an AOL address, and...
They banned all AOL addresses, right?
Yep, they banned AOL addresses. And they also banned a number of free websites that gave free website emails. So
Hotmail and
I figured out some way around it, but it was like basically AOL is for normies and kids. So they didn't want normies and or kids showing up on Tapestries, which was a 18+ XXX chat room, essentially.
Early internet elitism.
Oh, I know, right? Then, of course, we go on to the next one. It's about the same time, YIFnet on IRC.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, we used to have a YIFnet chat room for the original podcast way back in the day.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah, long ago.
Well, that wasn't YIFnet. That was on the Answer chat, wasn't
it? Yeah. I mean, it's still having an IRC chat room for a podcast.
Yeah, totally. And then, so I remember, so there was like a, this was like the big drama of the day back then was when a bunch of people at YiffNet got pissed at the other bunch of people and split off and formed AnthroChat instead.
Fucking splitters.
And apparently the person who originally formed the Foxes channel, which was just hashtag or pound Foxes, moved it to AnthroChat, and then, of course, YiffNet then made another channel called Foxes. And that the person that owned the original channel went and complaining because they're like, no, I own that. You can't have it too. And I was never deep into the politics of these groups and the cult's personality around them. So maybe I don't fully understand the gravity of it. But I was just like, dude, it's a furry chat server. The channel is literally the name of one of the most common species in the fandom. Like, I don't think you can take ownership of that, you know?
Pound Foxes. Very on brand. Posted a live journal. We all had live journals back in the day.
Yep.
Yep.
And it was like a big deal when it was sold to Russia and everyone bailed off.
Oh, before that, it was a big deal when it was sold to, like, what, 6UP or something it was called, whatever that company was. I mean, yeah, because they were like, oh, no, it's a big, quote-unquote, company, and they're going to change everything. It's not just owned by these two people in a garage anymore. And, of course, nothing really changed. And then it was bought by Russia. And
everyone's like, ooh, Russia. You know, by that point, it was being overshadowed by, like, MySpace and other such websites. Back in the day, this was pre-Facebook, kids, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I used LiveJournal quite a lot back then.
Oh, yeah. I had one
I did too.
Dated back to 2003 or 2002, and I nuked it several years ago. Because why have that information online? You know, we're sort of those, like, I'm amongst the last generation that's able to go back and just nuke my internet presence from when I was a dumbass teenager.
Yeah, that's a nice thing to have. But, I mean, I was even online until I was a dumbass 21-year-old. So.
Yeah. And then the last one...
still plenty dumb at that time.
So. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then the last thing is Neon Cat.
Oh, you skipped one.
Oh, took analog photo or video at a furry event. Yeah, that... I have a stack of photos from Anthrocon 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Like, taken on a shitty disposable camera, and they look really shitty. But I have them.
Yep.
I went through and scanned a bunch of them a few years ago. I'm not sure where I have them. And, like, I'd posted them to Twitter, but then I recently nuked a bunch of tweets, so I'm sure that I have them somewhere. But... it was like these old photos, and so you can see that, man, frisbee technology has gotten a lot better over the last 16 years.
Oh boy, has it. Like, holy shit.
Like, I think I still have, there's like a picture of Corsi and their big titty mouse fursuit, or big, was it a mouse?
It was a mouse.
It was their big titty mouse fursuit, yeah. And that was such a scandal, like, ooh, or it was so scandalous, at least to me, like, oh my god, this, such a sexy, weird, big titty mouse, and now it's just like, whatever. It's like, I have seen such things in fursuit
by modern furry standards. She's like an A cup, you know?
Yeah. It's like that picture I posted from Dogsmith in the chat earlier today with, like, you know, half her torso is body weight, he's fucking tits. But you know, that's just one artist's thing. But yeah, back in the day, we didn't have cell phones with cameras, and we had to take analog film. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. My cell phone was so old, it had a rotary dial.
You could kill a man with it. And then, of course, Neon Cat, which came out in 2011. So that one's not terribly gray muzzle, but, you know, you had to have been on the internet a little while to have seen it.
Yeah, PR guitar man. I wonder if he's still around doing... I mean, I don't think he's dead or anything, but, like, I wonder if he's still active under that name or still drawing and...
Yeah, because he was somewhat local.
Yeah, yeah. I think he lived in Richardson at one point, and I don't know if he's still local.
Yeah, but the guy named Christopher Torres is the guy's name, and he lived in Dallas. On his used the name PR Guitarman on his website, Lol-Comics.
Oh, I remember Lol Comics. Yeah, they were like the the purposely badly drawn sort of stick figure comics that are they're actually pretty funny. Well, he's on Twitter. He has 12.1 thousand followers. And he last tweeted an hour ago, so yeah, he's still active.
Still around? Well, that's good. Because it's like, oh, this furry, I haven't heard from them in a long time. Oh, they're dead. That happens. Yeah.
Oh, weird. I'm mutuals with the LOL Comics Twitter account. I don't even remember.
So, basically,
oh wow,
we've managed to kill 40 minutes of this podcast while just talking about Great Muzzle Bingo, so we're doing great. But yeah, we're old, and let us know how you fared on the bingo. Because, you know, some of you guys are going to be too young to have remembered this or participate in it. But all of us here are very old. So what can you do?
Yeah, we've had experiences. I think that's the thing. Is that, like, the one tweet I saw, somebody replied to me and they didn't get bingo. Like, they had gotten maybe four in a row a couple of times and it just bounced around the board.
Yeah.
And accounted that to them not really going to meets or cons. And I was like, yeah, that, like, a lot of those bingo spaces are meet and con related or IRL furry related. And if you don't have that as part of your furry life, that will significantly cut down on that. So, I mean, I'm really glad that I got out there fairly soon after discovering the fandom, within like a year, although it felt like ages at the time, to like finally go to my first con. It was probably less than a year.
Oh my God, Shiva.
It felt like ages. What?
That photo that she posted of a Papa's Pizza meet?
Oh.
Oh my God. Everyone's so young in it.
Including Fuzz.
Oh shit, that is me.
These photos has a picture of Akish, Ake in it, so that would have been one of the trips back while I lived in Oz. So it would have been sometime between 05 and 06.
Okay.
Yeah.
Might have been 05 then, because I moved here in 05.
And, like, that was about contemporaneous to me meeting you guys, well, meeting you, Fuzz, because I'd met Shiva at her fur meets at Akon prior to that, and Guardian before that. But,
yeah,
like, that was one of the earliest things where I was like, hey, I'm trying to reconnect to DFW furries. And they were like, hey, there's a meet at Papa's tonight. So I jumped in my 1994 gold Econoline 150 conversion van and drove my ass over to Dallas, to Addison, just down the street from where I live today, which is all kind of weird.
I remember it was some little place out in the mid-cities, like a sandwich shop is where I first met you.
The Live Journal Cafe.
LJ Cafe.
LJ Cafe, that's what it was. I knew it was, yeah. Yep, we all jokingly said it was short for Live Journal.
Yep, it was a little, like, Asian-run cafe that was next to the Target there in Middle Irving. Yep. It's long gone, but back in the day.
But the memories remain.
Yeah, this whole episode has been a lot of, like, us being old and reminiscing. The other thing, though, that is kind of sad that makes us feel a little old, and now this is moving into more topics, is that, unfortunately, in the realm of cons being canceled, well, BlizzCon has been canceled because, obviously, but unfortunately, HarmonyCon, the My Little Pony fan convention that's a successor to Nightmare Nights here in the area, got booted from its venue because the Crown Plaza Dallas has closed, with no plans
forever
to reopen.
Forever.
It's closed. The Crown Plaza, the convention hotel that Fiesta got its start at, Nightmare Nights got its start at, Akon got its start at, Alcon, so many of the conventions that are still around here in this area, the hotel's just gone now. Like, they closed 27th yesterday, as of this recording, was the last day that they were open to the public.
My God. Sorry, I'm looking at a very, very old photograph.
And that's just...
That was from when you moved here, Fuzz. That was at night.
Oh, okay.
When we all IHOP.
Oh, nice.
This is good radio because we can't post these photos publicly.
I just knew I had the one from the day that kind of Fuzz moved in and we all kind of got together. It's like, I knew I had them.
It's a nice memory to have. We all look so much younger.
That's cool. I don't think I've seen these pictures. I don't know if I've ever seen this picture, actually.
So, in other good news, well,
hold on, Saverin. Let me get my cane.
All right. So, shifting on to an actual good news topic, because I mean, there's still bad news to be talked about here in a bit. But the good news is there is a very shitty judge who has been permanently removed from the bench after telling alleged rape victim to close your legs. Superior Court Judge John Russo Jr. will never be allowed to work in New Jersey again. This guy had been making shitty comments for years and years, but the Supreme Court had a very strong reaction. Let's see, the decision was unanimous, with the court deciding repeated and serious acts of misconduct by Russo. Chief Justice Stuart Rabner said that it would be inconceivable for Russo to preside over any case involving domestic violence or sexual assault after making these comments, which he called demeaning. No reasonable victim could have confidence in a court system where he'd preside over these kind of cases again. So, it took a little bit, but a shit judge...
What an amazingly shitty person.
Yeah. Have you tried closing your legs?
Motherfucker. You know, just... Wow. Anyway, I'm not going to get too angry. He got his just desserts.
He's been disbarred and removed from his job. So, I mean, the dude's old and he's probably damaged many people's lives, but one less asshole on the bench. Plus, the fact that it was unanimous was pretty surprising.
Yeah.
You normally expect there to be some sort of, like, one asshole is like, but women. But no, this was just unanimous.
Well, on the topic of people losing their jobs for being shitty, a young person lost their job for being shitty. So up in New York, in I think Central Park, there was a woman, white woman, who had her dog off of a leash, and a African-American man was there with his sister, bird watching, and he asked the lady to put their dog on a leash. And a disagreement ensued that culminated with this woman grabbing her dog to hold it and half strangling the poor little thing while she called 911 and said, I'm here in the park. There's an African-American man and he's threatening me and he's threatening my dog. And she goes and she turns on the hysterics and the tears and everything like that. And if you watch the video, he did not threaten her. So basically she tried to swat this dude.
Yeah,
so, like, this is basically a hair short attempted murder, knowing what this country is like between the police and African Americans, particularly men.
So, the name of the woman was Amy Cooper, and the guy, Christian Cooper, no relation, was very quick to pull out his phone because the dude was just out birding. Like, he's in a specific part of Central Park that doesn't allow off-leash dogs, and this woman was just letting her dog run free, and he was like, hey, could you not? And in response, she literally tried to have him killed. Like, no joke, no minimum, no. The way she talked, like, she stared this guy in the face and acted in a manner that was calculatedly evil. There is no argument to be made beyond her looking this guy dead in the eye and pretending that she was afraid to try to get a big police response to get this guy arrested and possibly killed. Like,
yep.
The fact that this woman's life has been demolished to dust, but not really, is mildly satisfying.
Well, what's pretty amazing, though, is that she not only lost her job, because she was very quickly identified from the phone footage. Like so many people tried to contact her employer that her employer's website crashed. And they're like a big investment firm, so they probably don't have a cheap web infrastructure, I would assume. And the next day, they, you know, and that night they posted, you know, we're looking into it. She's on leave while we do. And the next day they were like, yeah, we don't condone any racism. That employer is no longer, she is no longer employed here, basically. But on top of that, people had found where she posted pictures of the dog on her Facebook and had been rescued from this particular animal shelter. And people reached out to the animal shelter. And long story short, she had to return the dog to the animal shelter. So she lost all of her social media, her job, and her dog. All of the same day.
That's pretty mild, all things considered.
Yeah, she literally tried to have a dude killed. Like, she tried to swat him. You know, fuck her, and she put out the whole, you know, I'm not a racist, I wasn't thinking, you know, I work with a black person, I don't talk to them, but they're there. She didn't actually say that, but...
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, category of BS non-apology. And it's like, I'm sorry, you're 30, 35, you didn't know you were doing a racism by calling the police and specifically saying there's an African-American man and he's threatening me. Like, you live in this country, you know what that means. Like what the hell, you know?
Well, and, you know, she was so very careful to make sure to say African-American, right?
Like three times, yeah. Yeah, fuck her.
And, of course, she joins the ranks of people who've been utterly destroyed on Twitter because really, like, in a lot of ways, unless there is a large outrage, these people will never have any sort of comeuppance, despite the fact that, well, she very realistically tried to kill somebody. That was like that one chick who posted a tweet before she got on a flight to South Africa being like, lol, hope I don't catch AIDS. And then by the time she landed, found out she'd become an international incident and been fired.
Yeah. What an awakening, huh?
Don't fire tweets off into the void and go into airplane mode for 12 hours because you might wake up to a bad time. Like, she was trending and like people found her flight and were like counting down the minutes till she landed and could possibly turn her phones off airplane mode. But there was a comic I saw that was like the three stages of Karen is the, you know, call 911, the excuse me, officers, there's someone being black in my vicinity. With step two, the defiance is, oh, go ahead and post the video. I don't care, where she flips them off. And the third being, oh, God, I'm so sorry. My life has been ruined. I own a Prince CD.
Oh, right. Yeah, I saw that.
And moving into a more grim topic, really, I mean, like, we've seen what happens when you call the cops on black people in Minneapolis.
Yeah, this is awful. There's not much more to be said. I mean, there's a lot more to be said about that. But, I mean, the city of Minneapolis is basically on fire right now. There's 2 days of rioting there. There's protests in L.A. Due to the death in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Basically, a black man was suspected of forging a check, which on the list of heinous crimes that should totally carry the death penalty is right up there with selling cigarettes individually, which is what Eric Garner was doing when he was murdered by the police. There's very clear video of this man on the ground having his nose and mouth pushed into the concrete as a police officer has his knee on his neck and is just putting his whole body weight on this guy's neck while he goes through the man's pockets, I guess looking for identification and whatnot. And the guy is literally saying, I can't breathe, please don't kill me. It's fucking heartbreaking.
Yeah, the man's name was George Floyd. He was actually from here in Texas. He was from Houston.
Oh.
Up there on business.
Jesus. And, like, the cop's partner is just standing there looking and, like, not reacting at all. And there's a crowd of people in front of them that are filming, and you can hear people yelling at him to get off him. He ain't moving. You know, what are you doing? And that's the thing. It's like, I see these tweets are talking about the whole thing. They're like, oh, it's just a few bad apples and shit like that. You know, like fuck that cop. He's a monster. He straight up murdered George Floyd. But fuck his partner also.
There was just three cops with him just standing around.
Yeah, just standing there watching him. Just, you know, and whether you're a cop and you're murdering someone by putting your knee on their neck, or whether it's someone just stabbing a person repeatedly until they die. If you're just standing there watching, I mean, fuck you. You're not protesting at all. You're not. There's so much about the police system and a lot of these systems that rely on quote unquote brotherhood and, you know, not squealing and, you know, not criticizing your partner on the job and shit like that. It's all such horseshit. It's built on bullshit and white supremacy. And
the police are the gang of the state, and they should never call them unless, like, you're being murdered. Because involving the police in anyone's life, especially a minority's life, is a good chance of getting them killed or incarcerated for utter bullshit reasons. Nobody needs that shit. I don't want to deal with the cops, and I'm a fucking cracker. But, like, I knew for a fact when I got rear-ended a little bit ago, and my car got a little banged up before Fiesta, well, the kid who drove the truck, and he just screwed up and rear-ended me. He was Hispanic, and his parents were Hispanic. And like hell I was gonna call the cops. Because the last thing I want to be responsible for is getting this poor kid tangled up in the system, and God forbid his parents getting involved as well. You know, And that's the kind of shit that we need to be aware of as white people, that involving the cops in almost anything at all is potentially a death sentence for that other person. Like, if someone's kicked in your fucking door, all right, well, the cops might show up a few hours later. That's a bad situation. But, like, calling the cops if someone's having a mental health crisis, that's just going to get them killed. Calling the cops in, like, a rear-ender car accident, that's possibly going to fuck up that person. If you have insurance and so do they, don't fucking call the cops. Do not trust the cops. They can lie to you and will do so to get whatever they want. And so it's just like, I was reminded by a tweet earlier today that, like, a furry con, Anthro New England, I think it was, they changed their con's charity from, like, Vesta Dog to two others.
Yeah.
And that was like a minor controversy because, oh, don't you support the cops? No, we don't. And, like, you know, we had that minor controversy at Fiesta when, you know, for actual, like, hey, the cops asked us not to.
Shout out to Kalis, who tweeted today that that's what he was known for on the internet.
Yeah, and, like...
Known for what?
Oh, he was the one that made the joke, lol, goodbye to 50% of the G-Sheps. And he was just joking, and that was what sparked everyone thinking Fiesta was banning all G-Shep fursuits, and it was...
Yeah, like we were being speciesist.
Racism against your fursuit species. Yeah, and he was just kidding.
Yeah, but sometimes you shitpost into the void, and the void shitposts back.
Yeah.
I made a tweet the other day that was just like, die mad about it, with a screen cap, and it crossed like 500 likes or something like that. I muted it pretty early because I was like, oh god, this is going distances. So... Mm-hmm. Thank God for muting on Twitter, because you don't see the people being dumbasses unless you go back and look at it, which why would you do that? But yeah, man, just like even the cops that we have in furry things like Judy, you know, Judy's a corrupt cop. Nick's a class traitor. They're not good cops because they are cops. And it should not be surprising that most of the good fan art of these characters does not involve them in their police uniforms. It's like, oh, Judy went like she remembered. Found out that the cops were completely corrupt and she went back to become a farmer, you know. Farm girl Judy is good, not so much cop Judy.
Yeah, my enjoyment level of that movie has tanked drastically.
I sent a picture, an artist I follow drew a character in sort of a Zootopia getup, but it was a porn piece, and I sent it to one of my friends and their first response was ACAB.
Yeah.
I was like, ACAB, but the pussy's still good. Like, yeah, I mean, that's kind of where we're at as a fandom. It's like, you know.
On that note, there's that article that I linked. It was actually, this happened in 2017, a year after Zootopia was released. But apparently in Minneapolis, the police department was using Zootopia to illustrate to cops the differences with, like, basically class struggle and discrimination and how it works. And, like, the local news station interviewed a couple of the cops about this, you know, and the one that was whose idea it was to do this as part of their sensitivity training, basically, was like, I was watching the movie with my kids and I thought this would be a good idea. And the quote that really stuck out to me was that, like, a lot of the officers have seen this movie many times, presumably, you know, theft kids or whatever, and they never understood the real-life applications of it to policing and racial profiling. And I'm like, how could you not? The movie is completely not subtle about that. about what the storyline is about. So that just sort of illustrates to me the intelligence level that we're dealing with here and the observational skills of the average Minneapolis PD member.
Yeah.
And but just the fact that they were trying to teach cops sensitivity training with a Disney movie, I'm just sort of like, oh my God, sure. Really? Like, I legit thought that it was a fucking parody site when I saw the article. And I went to the link, and it was like a Fox 7 or 8, the local affiliate channel, actual report, and it was completely fucking real.
Yeah, I thought it was really funny because the link that I posted from Street Fight Radio, which is a podcast I listen to, they've been going forever too, by the way. But, and so I thought, like, is this a shit post like you did, Fuzz? And no, it's...
Yeah.
And that got spread around. But the Street Fight Radio guys, they're our age and possibly a little older, you know, and they, they're normal dudes, like normal guys, but also pretty cool. I like the podcast. But yeah, it's like using Zootopia. It's like, what's next? Like, oh, we're going to watch The Lion King to talk about how, like, hierarchies and royalty lines of succession should go. I mean... Aladdin.
Instead of reading Macbeth this semester, we're just going to watch The Lion King.
Instead of actually reading the history book, we're going to just watch Disney's Pocahontas. Instead of... Instead of learning about indigenous cultures, we're going to watch Brother Bear. Instead of reading The Hunchback of Notre Dame, we're going to watch the Disney version, which has, like, the horniest song ever. Also dancing animated gargoyles.
Why study Russian literature when you can watch the animated movie Anastasia?
Oh, yeah. Didn't you know that the Russian Revolution happened because Rasputin made people mad about the rich? Oh, man. Like, you go back and you look at some of this shit as an adult, and you're like, oh, no. And there's reasons these things are generally out of print or not widely available. But yeah, definitely, like, oh, no, Anastasia. It's like, well... If you want to, like, actually talk about the Russian Revolution, there's a lot that you could look up, but maybe don't use Anastasia or the fact that it had a sequel, as it's had multiple sequels, actually.
I didn't know that, and I'm going to act like I still don't.
Well, the third one, they're just like, hey, we're just going to make the titular character, Bartok the Magnificent.
Right.
And it had one of the horniest TF sequences in a children's movie ever, where a chick turns into a dragon in slow motion. I didn't know about that because I never saw it, but someone tweeted about it like a month ago and was like, this is the horniest thing I've ever seen in a kid's movie. And it was like this 3-minute long song where she's singing and transforming into a big fat dragon. And I'm like, I would have to look it up. Just Google Anastasia Bartok dragon transformation, and I'm sure you can find it. Do we have any more that we want to talk about other than like Yohei Ikab, especially the one that you're related
to? I'm gonna throw out something here. I'm actually looking for the link to it now, but there is a fundraiser going on in Minnesota. That there's actually a couple, but one in particular that I donated to, I saw on Robert Evans' Twitter account, and it's basically it's raising money for protesters for like bail and stuff like that. It's like
the Minnesota Freedom Fund.
Yes, I was gonna say, if you could put a link in the show notes to the Minnesota Freedom Fund, that would be great if anybody wants to help out there. Also Unicorn Riot was on the ground doing a lot of filming in very dangerous circumstances, and they have Patreon also, and I think we're taking donations. So
holy shit, Shiva. Quit dropping things in the chat. It's dinging like mad.
That's why I have my phone silenced when I'm podcasting.
The last couple things, we've got a couple, well, we've got an email and a comment, and then but the last thing I want to read is a Reddit Our Relationships question that is very important.
Okay.
This will bring up the episode towards the end because this is, well, it's Reddit Our Relationships, which is cool story, bro, more often than not.
Mm-hmm.
So let me read this. My boyfriend, 34 male, has a sexual history with my parents, 49M and 47F. Can we still survive? Gross situation, but both my parents have told me that it's not a big deal since we're all adults. My boyfriend, who we'll call Sam, is a bit older than me, 34M, versus me, 23F, and this has never been a problem before. I mean, that's a pretty big age gap, but still, half his age plus 7 still counts. We've been dating for over a year now, so things are pretty serious. However, when we came to meet my parents over dinner, hell broke loose. I thought everything was going fine at first. I've had boyfriends be shy around my parents before, but they can be intimidating. But around an hour into our dinner, my mom pulled me aside. She explained to me that she and my dad actually already knew my boyfriend. Obviously, I was confused as they had apparently appeared to introduce themselves for the first time not that long ago. My mom explained that 10 years ago, she and my father had taken part in a threesome with Sam, but it was all in the past. I didn't want to hear any more, but she told me that they'd all slept together a handful of times. In retrospect, I didn't take this information well, and I left their house by foot and ran until I was far enough away to call for an Uber. I have been home a few hours now. Sam has called me literally hundreds of times in the last few hours trying to talk, but I don't want to answer. The whole thing is making me feel sick. I picked up a call from my parents who told me to calm down and handle the situation like an adult. My mom called me immature for being so freaked out by the thought of her and my dad having sex, and she said that if I'm going to be part of a grown-up relationship, then I need to handle this type of thing more appropriately. I see a future with Sam, but I never expected that my parents would be a part of our history. I really do love him a lot, and I know it's not his fault that he chose to be involved with my parents such a long time ago. Is there a chance our relationship could survive this? TLDR, my older boyfriend and my parents had a threesome once 10 years ago. How do I deal with this moving forwards? So it's like,
I'm curious what y'all's feelings are on this. So the responses on the tweet were very judgmental, like, oh, that's so gross, and oh, the age ranges here are so fucked up. And I was like, I looked at it and didn't see a problem with it at all. Like they said, like 10 years ago, so at the time, the boyfriend would have been 24, and the husband and wife would have been like 37 to 40 or something like that. And it was like, so he was a legal consenting adult. He had a threesome, but a married couple.
I mean, a couple swingers picking up some young but legal meat, that's fine. But I'm just like, it is kind of coincidental that the guy 10 years later is dating their daughter, which has another age gap. And it just so happens to be somebody that they've banged both of them in the past. I mean, honestly, like, the chick freaked out. She's either going to have to grow up and deal with it and be like, well, let's not talk about that again, okay? Or she's just going to have to break up with the guy because if she can't handle that, well, sorry. That's just how, like, things be.
If I was her parents, I would have just, like, kept that underneath my hat, had a quiet word with the boyfriend on the side about, hey, can we never speak of this?
I mean, that would have been the best option. Like,
yeah,
maybe if it came up later in the relationship as sort of an accidental thing, but I think the mom did
fuck up. I think the girlfriend's overreacting, and I think it's very clear that she has very different opinions on sex than her parents do, because apparently her parents are swingers and have had an interesting life, and that seems to not be a concept that she's familiar with. So, like, yeah, I think maybe the mom not saying something would have been better, but at the same time, like, how long do you keep something like that a secret? Do you really want it to come out as a surprise? As opposed to the mom pulling her aside to be like, hey, just so you know. So, I don't really know what the best way to handle that would be, because clearly the way they handled it did not go the way they wanted it to. But I can't see if keeping it a secret forever and then having it come out as a surprise later would be any better. So yeah. I don't really know. Like, maybe there's no good way to handle what is frankly just an unfortunate coincidence.
Yeah, I think the chick in this situation is just being a total normie and she needs to chill out.
Yeah.
It is kind of a shock that her mom took her aside and like, oh, by the way, like, we've seen his penis. It's been all over the place.
Yeah.
That's not family dinner conversation.
Oh, we've known each other a long time. We know you've got a prime piece of meat right there.
Or just be like, you know, have the mom be like, hey, you know, so is that dick still as good as it was 10 years ago? And she'd be like, what?
Yeah.
So, needless to say, that was fun. But then again, you posted a reply in the chat fuzz from Brazzers. Their reply yes. seems totally normal to us, says Brazzers.com.
Yeah, apparently a well-known porn site.
Yep.
But, yeah, I'm just it's amusing from the outside. But, I mean, yeah, I feel bad for the people involved. But I'm like, oh, my God, she should not have, like... The article goes on to say that she left the house on foot until she got fired up away to call an Uber. And, like you said, not a boyfriend tried to call her, and she's not picking up. And I'm like, I understand you had a bit of a shock from this surprise, but this level of reaction seems a bit much to me, especially for someone whose parents are clearly on the kinky experimental side. You would think that they would be more open-minded, but I don't know. I mean, everybody is different and has their own morality, but, you know. If it were me, I'd be like, it's nothing to worry about, you know? Like, that was 10 years ago, and I'm marrying you, you know? It's not like I'm going to suggest that we hook up with your parents, you know?
I mean, this isn't a porn parody. I mean...
This isn't a Jay Naylor comic.
Or Nonamoose, or insert...
Oh, God, the Nonamoose comic, yeah.
I fucked your dad. I fucked your mom.
Stop saying that!
God. And that is also very old, because we're very old.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. It is.
Is there anything else we want to hit up tonight that we might have missed? I mean, there's some weird shit that white people be doing. There was this one woman who decided to wear nothing but face masks on her body outside of a Trader Joe's.
Except for over her nose and mouth.
Yeah, she's got masks on her shoulders. On her forehead, over her eyes, around her ankles, around her genitals, and over her tits. And that's it. And everyone's just kind of has their phone in their hand, and a lot of their replies were just like, man, this is a Trader Joe's. And the woman's like some anti-vaxxer conspiracy theorist.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, like, she's a nut bar, but it was just like, sometimes white women don't need to be shopping. And in this case, she shouldn't have been. I mean, she technically covered all the bases and could go into public like that, but look at her, she's being an attention whore.
Yeah. Can we also talk about the white lady in the hover round at the Target in Minneapolis who was crying about being beaten and sprayed with a fire extinguisher, but then it turned out that the reason for that was that she had been literally stabbing people who were only the black people who were exiting the Target.
Yeah, she was...
Because lots of people were looting the Target, and this white woman walks past her, and she doesn't say nothing. Black person walks up to the door, she literally tries to stab them. And then you hear people go, oh, shit, she's got a knife. And so they try to, like, pull her away. And then a white dude walks up and blasts her with, like, a full fucking fire extinguisher.
It's what she deserved. But then again, like, internet assholes tried to, like, frame it as, oh, my God, this poor white woman was attacking people. But then, like, the video that they stole to try to publicize it was literally captioned, this lady's got a knife. She's stabbing people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she, there's no victimization here. Like, this one brought it on herself. And the fact that, like, you're protecting capital. Like, this shit's all insured. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
This lady was also trying to defend the Target, like, flagship store in Minnesota there. And it's, like, heavily insured, but also extremely heavily policed in terms of loss prevention. Like, Target's one of the worst stores to shoplift from, apparently. I saw an article today where Target will let you get away with it while tracking your shit, even from city to city, because it's all, like, networked, till they get you past the $500 threshold for a felony shoplifting thing, and then they arrest your ass to get you on, like, a felony charge. So, like, if you're going to shoplift, don't shoplift from mom-and-pop stores, and sure as fuck don't shoplift from Target. Like, they don't pay Walmart people enough to care, but they sure seem to pay Target people enough, and they take it a lot more seriously. Anyways.
So, on that note, somebody made a Twitter account last night called Target Minnesota, and it's pretending to be the Minneapolis branch. And like their pinned tweet was "Bring that shit the fuck back," and you know, bring our stuff back. And they added the Target corporate account and said, "Hey, do you have any PS5s you can send over?"
Yeah. I mean, that store was completely destroyed. Like, the photos from the interior is wild. But then again, that shit's insured. It's not that big a deal in the long run.
Yeah.
I care a lot more about the dude that got murdered than any store getting damaged. And, like,
yeah.
There was photos of, like, the AutoZone that burned down among the first things was, like, was a white dude, fully garbed, like, fully covered, no skin showing, in $300 gas mask, who walked up with a hammer, broke a window, and then tried to scoot away. Like, that was 100% a cop trying to instigate shit. And, well, he succeeded in instigating and resulting in a lot of shit getting burned down.
But, or one of those boogaloo guys, maybe. Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of people that want shit to escalate further, and plenty of people who are rightfully aggrieved and will push to accelerate things. I mean, we're looking at another long-term thing like Ferguson again, and, you know, it's, again, fully justified. It's going to be a real wild summer, kids, and I don't know what else to say. Like, it's going to be a really interesting time, like, because, again, we've got the Minneapolis stuff going on. We've still got COVID. We've got COVID rising. We've got furries dying of COVID. The another thing we can put in, there's a fur named Naka who is just 22.
He was an EMT.
And there's a memorial fund for them that is raising money. I pitched some money into that when it came across because, I mean, fucking 22, that's a kid, you know?
Yeah.
That's a real damn shame. He was an EMT. And he was doing his job and caught this and died. And that's bullshit. So I'll include that in the show notes as well with the Minnesota Freedom Fund. I did just retweet a pretty funny thing. It's like 2020 expectation, Midwest Fur Fest, reality, Minnesota Freedom Fund. All right. So last couple things we've got we got a note on Patreon. We got a note, an email. You can email us. southpodscast@gmail.com. You can contact us on Patreon. You can send us notes through that system. You can just leave us a comment or a shout, however that system works. We did get a comment from Wiro, actually.
Oh, cool.
Like, thanks for supporting the U.S. Postal Service. And I was like, holy shit, it's Wiro. You're still around. Oh, yeah. That's really cool. Like, he's, again, one of those gray muzzle furs who he's works for the USPS and has for a very long time. And old friend of the pod type thing. It's like, that's cool. But we did get a comment on the post, like, thanks for supporting USPS. It's like, yeah, Planet couldn't do it shit that it does without it. And, like,
yep.
I need to mail stuff off occasionally, you know? It's in the fucking Constitution. We kind of needed to stick around.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then this one's just a nice note from someone who goes by V Snowball. Love your podcast. In so many different ways, like how you're still doing it in the COVID-19. Your podcast makes me laugh when I'm upset, especially since I just graduated. Hope to hear more topics from your podcast. That's it. Just a nice note, but it's nice to get them. southpodscast@gmail.com is the contact email for us. Beyond that, we do have Patreon, patreon.com/southpodscast. Obviously, we know money's tight right now. It's just kind of a tip jar for us. We appreciate it if you can. If not, that's fine too. And beyond that, I do have a one cool thing this week. So this was one of those very out of the fucking blue things that I got a message from a dude on. It was a note on FA, which getting a note on FA is always kind of like, the fuck is this? But this was a note from Present Perfect. He is a writer, RCL co-curator, which is, I guess, is a fic group, Equestria Daily pre-reader, dramatic reader, VA fic reviewer, etc. And they asked, hey, do you still have your old fic recordings around? Because in the day, I used to do and did like short stories that were My Little Pony fan fiction back in like the mid days of the fandom. And I had taken them down off of I had taken them off of public on YouTube. But I kept all the files around because that's a lot of work. I'm not going to just delete that shit. That was invested time, even if it never got me anywhere in that fandom. And yeah. So I sent him, he sent me a note and I was like, oh yeah, here's the link to the Google Drive that has all the stuff in it. Go nuts. And then I was like, wait a minute, all these fics are still up on YouTube. They're just marked as private. Well, I'll fix that. Bloop. And then like I resurrected the playlist for it. And so I was like, all right, well, here you go. Everything's now available. Watch it. Listen if you want. Download it if you want. Because it turns out that for a number of these stories that I'd recorded, they don't exist anymore on FimFiction or anywhere else because the author wrote them and then like left the fandom like many, many people did. So mm-hmm. my audio recording is perhaps the only history of that story existing. So that was nice. And then on FimFiction, this person, Present Perfect, wrote a blog where they went and just did a spotlight on my audio recordings and included links to every single one that I did and got a lot of views. And so that was really nice. I didn't expect to get a full, like, glowing write-up and thank you for it, but I did. So that was really cool. It's like, hey, you know, someone can go back and appreciate some of these older fics that I did back in the day. Like, because, I mean, there's still people writing fan fiction on, you know, FimFiction and the like, and the Pony fandom still has a little bit of gas in it. But,
mm-hmm.
like, I had just kind of set all this stuff aside, and then someone's like, nudges me and says, hey, you still got your old shit? I'm like, yeah, here you go. So
yeah,
that was
yeah.
a cool thing. I it made me feel good and appreciated because, like, well, I mean, this was stuff that I did back in, like, 2017. So a few years later, ooh, people appreciate me. Give me them little good chemicals. They hit the button.
Ooh.
So that's my one cool thing for the week. I'll include a link to it if people want to like
cool.
go. Because like the person who did the review also did, they included a link to the stories. They included a link to the Google Drive, but also did like a synopsis of each of the stories in their like mm-hmm. little mini review. And they reviewed them from the focus of the story, not my recording. So that's nice too. Where it's just like, this story is good. You will enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Or this story is more for fans of this character. So that was right. nice. That's my one cool thing for the week.
Cool.
You got anything?
Not really. Okay. I mean, donate money. Yeah, working.
All right. Well, so we're going to wrap this up because this is an hour and a half at the raw recording point. So again, you can email us, southpawscast@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter @southpawscast. You can find me on Twitter @SavrinDrake. Again, you can find me on Twitch @Savrin. Hades is really good. You should play it. And you can find me in the Southpaws fan chat, which is the easiest way to get in touch with me.
I am still on Twitter, much to my consternation. You can, however, go ahead and follow my Fur Planet account. It's @FurPlanet. Oh, yeah, I should put out here, since I've, this is on the website. But so our combination of our printer is producing books at a much slower rate right now. Because of the world and their manufacturing plant. And also shipping is going much slower because the post office is overworked, understaffed, and are having to take more precautions. I know somebody told me there's like a particular postal sorting center. I think it's in like Oklahoma or something like that, where they're like anything that goes through this site has a 2-week delay because they have to shut down and sanitize the whole facility because someone tested positive, basically. So we are still taking orders and filling orders, but you may have a longer than usual wait because if it's something we have on hand here, we can go ahead and ship it. But we're print on demand, so we don't keep a lot of copies of individual items on hand most of the time. So if it's something that we have to order from our printer, you may see a significant backlog. Just want to be upfront with that. We do still want people to order books and comics, though, because we still take that money and pay our authors and artists royalties. And that's helping people that are our full-time authors and artists in the fandom keep paying their bills during this pandemic. I'd also go ahead and say, hey, check out our ebook site at baddogbooks.com so that if you don't want to have to deal with waiting for a book to be produced and have something shipped to you, you can go ahead and read something right away. We have a bunch of really cheap stuff there and some free stuff. So maybe something for you to check out if you're stuck at home and need some entertainment or whatnot. So just wanted to mention that about the shipping times, because like a lot of businesses, we are being affected by the current global pandemic. So
yeah, speaking of that though, I tried to buy a late birthday present for my mom and ordered a phone for them, but because of the shipping delays, they'd gotten their Rona bucks, said fuck it, and bought themselves two new phones. So I got the phone today. I was like, well, shit. So I just immediately returned it via shipping, because when I was trying to contact the Apple store at Galleria, which is still open, but only on appointments. And so like they were like, do you do returns? So it's like, nope, print out a thing and mail it out. So, oh well. I just bought them big ass memory cards for their new phones. I got like Samsung A20s, which, hey, because my mom's phone was like 6 years old and completely failing. It was terrible.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Anyways, hey, what about you, Shiva? You're in the fan chat.
Yep. That's the best place to find me.
Yep. The fan chat, it's a poppin' cool place to be, daddy-o. So, all right, kids.
Are you going to like make them a malt on your soda jerk?
Yeah, but minus
pop a dime in the jukebox
and play us some doo-wop, minus the deep-seated racism of that era.
Yeah.
So we should probably wrap this up because it is 9 p.m. and I've got to edit this. So on that note, good night.
And wash your hands.